I wonder, on that great day of judgment, that great day when we stand before the throne of God, will we hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," or will we hear those other words, "Depart from me, I hardly knew you"? I ask you, congregation, are you saved? Are you in Christ? We're thinking about Christian labor this evening. We're thinking about serving Christ in every aspect of our lives. I wonder, are you in Christ? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Or are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let's turn for a scripture reading to the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel, if you're unfamiliar with the scriptures, you'll find the book of 1 Samuel in the first portion of your Bible. It's in the historical section just before. You'll find a big book, Psalms. And then go back a few, you'll find 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Kings. And you find 1 and 2 Samuel. And you go to there, and it's the chapter 16. There was no greater Christian servant, no greater example than King David. And we're going to read a portion of the life of King David, his calling into Christian service, the kind of heart David had, that the Lord used him. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we'll commence reading at the verse 1. Perhaps I should prefix the reading by saying at this time, the king of the nation, King Saul, he had turned his back upon the Lord. He had turned away from God, and he was leading the nation of Israel into sin. And at this time, another king had to rise up. Another servant had to come and deliver the nation of Israel. And the Lord is looking for a servant. He's searching out a servant in this chapter. 1 Samuel 16 and the verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he'll kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me, him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And the Lord said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come thither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless this scripture reading to our own hearts. We're thinking of the calling of David, servant of Christ. Who does the Lord use in his service? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's seek the Lord's face. Our Father, we thank thee for thy servant David. We thank thee for the great example that he is to the children of God, of a Christian servant who worked tirelessly to bring about the glory of God. Father, we long to hear that well done of God. The one of the hymns we sing sings, I must not miss the well done of God. Oh, Father, we long to hear that well done, my good and faithful servant. We think of how Scripture describes us as unprofitable servants who did what we had to do. Oh, Father, when thou comest again, let us be as that servant who was given those many talents and used those talents to produce many more. Let us not be as that man who had the talents and hid them under the ground. Let us not be as that man who hid his light under a bushel. Help us not be as those who were saved, yet they're not salt of the earth, yet they're not light of the world. Father, help us to make a difference in our community. Help us to be noted, as we thought of this morning, as being peculiar in our workplace. Let their workmates say there's something different about him. There's something different about her. They're saved. They're redeemed. They're bought by Christ. Father, help us. Help us to be the salt of the earth, Father. Help us to be the light of the world. Lord, we want to be used of God. Lord, what a shame it would be if we were saved and then the Lord never used us. We were never used of God. We never made ourselves available for Christian service. We never helped with the ministry of Christ. Father, use us, we pray. Make us willing to be used. Make us pliable in thy hands, we pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. We think of how that hymn says these words, melt me, mold me, fill me. Oh, Father, if we are stubborn, if we are hard, if we won't work for thee, then break us, melt us, mold us again, and fill us with the Spirit of God. Father, we pray for those in our midst who might not be saved. Those in our midst who don't know Christ. Those in our midst who don't know of the wonderful mercies of Jesus Christ and the blessings and the beauty of the cross. Who've never had their sins forgiven. Who've never heard those words, repent and believe. Father, we pray for them now. Lord, speak to them tonight. Oh Lord, speak to them in this meeting. Help them to see the Savior. Help them to see that those Christian workers who are so excited and are so ready to serve Christ, let us be an example to unbelievers that we serve a greater cause, that we serve the King of Kings. Father, bless us tonight. Help me to preach, I pray thee, for I ask this in our Savior's holy and precious name. Amen and amen. History bears testament to the fact that our Lord uses people. Our Lord uses people. And we must be careful when we say that. For whilst God uses people, whilst God uses men, women, throughout the history of the world, God does not need people. God does not need men and women. And it's important to notice the distinction. You know, God did not need Martin Luther. Yes, he was mightily used of God, but he didn't need Luther. The Lord's work of redemption did not depend on John Knox. The Lord did not need that man. The Lord did not need desperately John Calvin, or else the work of God would fall. You see, God's great purpose of redemption will always be completed. You might cast your mind back to the book of Esther. And we hear the story of Esther and Mordecai, and how Mordecai meets with Esther and tells her that she is the one to stand in the gap for the children of Israel who are being persecuted and are going to be wiped out. And Mordecai tells Esther, if you rise and you stand to deliver Israel now, the Lord will be with you. The Lord will bless you. But if you don't stand, if you don't serve Christ, then help will come from another place. You see, the Lord was going to save his people. The Lord's great plan was going to be completed. But he didn't depend on human instruments. The Lord used people, but the Lord's great cause of redemption does not depend upon people. You may say to me, well, preacher, there are no words of comfort in a message like that. You're telling me that the Lord doesn't need me? You're telling me that the Lord could do without me? There's no words of comfort there, but beloved, there is such great comfort in that statement. Because whilst the Lord does not need people, whilst the Lord did not need Luther, he didn't need John Knox, he didn't need Calvin, yet the Lord used them. The Lord used sinful, wretched man to spread his gospel. The Lord's chosen means of spreading the gospel is sinful man. The Lord will use us. Beloved, what a comfort that is, for God in mercy and in love chooses people to serve him. And what an honor, what a privilege is bestowed upon us that we are given that great responsibility to tell others about Christ, to tell others about the gospel. And whilst God doesn't need us, he blesses us with that great privilege of carrying his word. We think of how God used Augustine. There, St. Augustine of Hippo was used in the early church to combat heresies that were arising, to formulate theological thought. The Lord used him, and the effects of that are still being seen to this day. We think of how the Lord used Anselm and his great work, Cur Deus Homo. Why the God-man? To tell the Middle Ages all about Jesus Christ and why he had to go to the cross. We think of how mightily God used Luther. How mightily we think of that. And it's the 500th year anniversary of the great Protestant Reformation. We think of how the Lord used Luther to stand in the gap, to bring about Reformation principles just after those Middle Ages. You see, these were all men that God used, not because he needed to, but because he chose to use them to spread abroad his gospel. He was determined to. You know, one of the mightiest servants of God, a man who was chosen to carry the gospel, a man who was blessed of the Lord, was David. We've read about him. We've read the very first mention of him in our text here this afternoon. David was taken from the humble hills to the highest halls. And God led David to become, as Scripture tells us, a man after God's own heart. What a commendation. I wonder, can we have that commendation tonight? Are we a man or a woman after God's own heart? That's a serious statement. And yet it was said of David. And you see, David's personal ministry for the Lord was touched and kissed by the blessing of God. When we read of King David, and we read of all that he accomplished through his life, we're taken aback. How can a man be blessed this much? How can a man be so owned of God? How can a man be so singularly blessed of the Lord in his ministry for Jesus Christ? And this chapter reveals to us why David's ministry was so blessed. Why David's ministry was so specially touched by the Lord. Why did the Lord so specially bless David? Look at verse 7. The Lord saith not as man saith, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The Lord was looking at David's heart. David's heart. The Lord sought to bless David's heart. The Lord blessed David for his heart. David was saved. When he was saved, he'd be given a new heart. And perhaps you're here and you're not a Christian. When you're saved, you're given a new heart by Christ. A new heart, a new start in life. And David had been given that new heart. But he kept his heart. And he used his heart to serve the Lord Jesus every day of his life. You know, I see a lot of adverts on the TV telling us to look after our hearts. We hear it on the radio, that too much salty food, too much cholesterol, and our hearts will give in. And I hear a lot of health warnings, largely coming from my wife at dinner time. You're taking too much salt. You need to look after your heart. But beloved, I ask of you, Christian in the meeting tonight, child of God, are you looking after the heart the Lord has given you? Are you tending to that heart? Are you caring for that heart? Are you edifying that heart? Are you feeding that heart? Are you guarding your heart? If our labor for God is to be blessed and is to be profitable, we must make sure that our heart is right. That our heart's right before God. That our heart is ready for service. The most recognizably blessed ministries in Scripture were those ministries in which the servant of God took care of his heart. And I want to show you today from this short story about David, whose heart the Lord saw, the sort of heart God blesses. I want us to see the heart God blesses. What sort of heart do we need? As we think of this mission that's coming up, as we think of the work that's ahead of us as a church, to spread abroad the news of that mission, to invite people to that mission, what must our heart be like coming up to this gospel mission? I trust this will be a challenge to us. And let's see the sort of heart which God blesses. Firstly, the heart of labor. The heart of labor. David had a heart of labor. You know, one of the most damaging attacks of the devil in our present evil age, one of the most damaging attacks which the devil has used to weaken the church is laziness. It's not coming from another denomination. Our attack is not external, it's internal. Christians have gone apathetic. We've grown lazy. We've grown lethargic in the things of God. It's easy to come to church week after week. It's easy to sit for an hour, to stand and sit at the right times, to give money into an offering plate. But are we involved in the ministry of the church? Are we involved? You see, it's easier to sit at home and pray for the leaflet drop, pray for the outreach. But are we there? Are we doing it? Are we getting involved? I know, I understand that not everyone can get out to the outreach. Not everyone can knock doors. Not everyone can reach their neighborhood. And I understand that in such cases, you can't do that. But you can pray. You can be involved in the work. You may as well be standing at the door when you're on your knees praying that the Lord will bless those who are on the door. And why did the Lord bless David's ministry? Because David worked. David labored for the Lord. What does the Lord commission us before he left? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He left with the word go, go. Yet how little service we actually render. But I want you to see verse 11. There Samuel was coming to look for a servant. Samuel was coming to look for someone who looked to be the ideal prospect for a king. He saw Eliab and he said, surely this man. Samuel was looking on the outward appearance, but where was David? Where was he? He was out working. He was out laboring. His father had set him a duty, and he was serving the Lord to the best of his capacity. With all of his might, though there was great commotion going on in the house, he was out working, for that's where the father had placed him. He wasn't envying his brothers. He was focusing on the work that the Lord had set him. You know, Jonathan Wesley said these words, "One of the principal rules of religion is lose no occasion of serving God. And since he is invisible to our eyes, we are to serve him as if to himself in person, standing visibly before us." And beloved, if we want the Lord to bless our ministry, if we want the Lord to bless our hearts, if we want the Lord to bless our service, then there must be a ministry. There must be a service. If we want the Lord to use us, we must be willing to be used. Labor for the master. David was out working where his father had placed him. And beloved, your father has placed you in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church. Work for him. Work in the local assembly. Get involved in the ministry. Pray for all the ministries of the church. Get involved in the children's work. Get involved in the outreach. Help her brother when he goes out to the ploughing championship. Help out. Be involved in the service of Christ. Have you a heart that is earnestly laboring in the field that God has set you in? Or have you a lethargic heart? The Lord will not bless a lazy heart. You know, whenever David did sin, when David fell from the Lord, when he fell from grace, when he sinned with Bathsheba, as you all know, the first thing we read about David, the very first sin we read him committing, was that The Bible tells us in the evening, David arose. David had grown lazy. He lay on in his bed to the evening time. Kings were going to war. There was great political scenes going on all around him, but David was in bed. David wasn't working. Beloved, if we want the Lord to bless our ministries, we need to be working within our church, working within our denomination. Have you a heart that is a laboring heart? I recall the chairman of the missionary council stating that men often seem to romanticize the notion of being a missionary. Oh, if I could only get out to Uganda, if I could only get out to Kenya, if I could only get out to some foreign field, I'd serve the Lord every day. I'd never stop. But I recall the chairman of the mission board, he told there at the missionary weekend, he said, if you can't serve the Lord here, you'll never serve the Lord in the foreign field. If you can't serve the Lord in your local church, in your local assembly, you'll never serve the Lord anywhere else. Before someone can even enter the Bible college, it's asked, are you involved in the children's work? Are you involved in the youth work? Do you go to the prayer meetings? Are you a prayer in the prayer meetings? Are you involved in the church outreach? And beloved, let me tell you, there have been people denied from college because they haven't been involved in the work. Are you involved in the work of Christ? Our prayer ought to be, let me labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun and the glory of his resurrection share. You know, the saint is never more like his Savior when he goes about doing good. And beloved, that must be our mission in this earth. Are we laboring for Christ? Are we getting involved? For only then will we know the Lord's blessing. But not only did David have a heart of labor, David had a heart of humility. He had a humble heart. David was not only active and had a working heart, but he had a humble heart too. Think of the occasion. I want you for a moment to transport yourself into David's eyes, into David's head. There's Samuel. Samuel's coming to anoint a king. The one who he sees, the one who he chooses, is going to be the king of Israel. He's going to sit upon the throne. He's going to reign over people. And you have seen all of your brothers. They're a better fit for the job, as it were. David knew that the opportunity of a lifetime was on his doorstep. He knew that this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But where was David? He was out keeping the sheep. David didn't thrust himself forward. If you look at verse 11, he was out keeping the sheep. He was doing the work that the Father had called him to. Beloved, David was not swaggering before the prophet. He was not boasting in his ability. He was not presenting himself as some great leader or teacher or preacher. He was simply doing the work that the Lord had set him and rejoicing in that work. You know, notice this. Samuel wasn't interested in the youngest son. Jesse forgot about his youngest son, but the Lord's eye was always upon David. Like his Savior, like Christ, David was found to be humble, caring for the small details, caring for that small work that the Lord had set him to. And beloved, you may see the preachers come week after week and think, I'd love to preach, or I'd love to get involved in some great work, some great protest. I'd love to get involved. I'd love to be at the forefront of that. Beloved, you have a work here. You have a humble work to do over the next few weeks to spread abroad the news of this mission, to get involved in the spreading of the invitations. It's a mighty work. We ought to be humble and humble ourselves before the Lord to do it. You know, before the Lord used Luther, he saw that young boy growing up in the coal miner's home. Before the Lord used Gypsy Smith, he saw that young Romany boy just selling clothes pegs like his father had asked him to. And before the Lord can use us, we must humble ourselves before him. Andrew Murray, the late preacher, he once said, pride must die in you before anything of heaven can live in you. And how true he was when he said that. Beloved, let's seek out a humble heart like Christ's. The Lord talks about blessing his people in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And what is his prerequisite? If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face. The first thing the Lord demands of his children, be humble. Be humble. David wasn't found boasting or proud or presenting himself to be a king. He was humbly working to the best of his ability when the Lord used him. I wonder, are we being humble this evening? Are we humbly laboring in Bethel Church, waiting for the Lord to use us? Oh, beloved, we need to have a heart of humility. But notice, David also had a heart of obedience. He had an obedient heart. You see, when Jesse sent David out to the field, we don't see Jesse send David out to the field in our text, but at some point in the day, Jesse must have sent David to look after the sheep. And when he did, David went. And then we find in our text that Jesse calls David back in verses 11 and 12. Look at verse 12. He sent and brought him in. David comes back. When his father sends him to one place, he goes. And when the father draws him back, he comes. Without a murmur, without a complaint, without a grumble, without a groan. David simply obeys. And here was a man in whom dwelt an obedient heart. He was going to obey his father, honor his father, do whatever his father told him to do. And there's a few lines from our hymn that I love. It's the hymn, Trust and Obey, and it simply says this: what he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. You know, the story is told of a man who was sitting in church, and the offering basket came around, and he pulled out his wallet, and he lifted out a £20 note, and he set it into the basket, and he passed it on, and he began to sing the next verse of the hymn. Well, he must have been in a Free Presbyterian Church, because shortly after, the basket went round again for a second time. The man was taken aback as the basket approached him, but he thought, well, I did have another 20 in my wallet, and I didn't give it to the Lord's work. I must give it to you. Thank you, Lord, for rebuking me. And he placed that other £20 into the basket and sent it on. You know, the basket came round again. The man started to wonder, what's going on here? They're fleecing me. And he began to look down and he thought, well, I have an expensive jacket on. I can take off the jacket. I can give them the jacket. I don't know. It's worth something. And so he took off his jacket and he put it into the offering basket. And it went away. And the next verse was sang, and there came the basket again. And the man began to think, what's the sense in this? What's the Lord trying to tell me? And then it clicked. When the basket came to the man, he set it upon the floor. And he simply stepped in foot by foot. And he said, Lord, I offer up myself. This is what I've been withholding. This is what I haven't been giving. I haven't been obedient in presenting my body as a living sacrifice. Here I am to be used in thy service. And beloved, I wonder, are we giving ourselves like this? Are we obedient to Christ's commission to go and to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, to serve him daily? Do we obey that? Are we serving Christ? When David was sent, he went. And when he was bid, he came. And if the Lord sent you, would you go? If the Lord sent you tonight to some foreign field, indeed, if the Lord sent you into the town to give out a few invitations tonight after the service, would you go? Would you do it? Whilst David obeyed this particular call, this very special call in his life, he had also obeyed many other calls before that. And the greatest blessing of God will fall out upon the saint who obeys the Lord in every instance, who obeys the Lord in secret as well as in public. You know, the hymn I quoted earlier, the chorus simply says these words, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You know, it's easy to trust. It's easy to give our lives over to Christ, to say, Lord, whatever you say, yes, that's great. Lord, keep me in thy will. But to obey is more difficult. It requires grace. It requires self-sacrifice. And I wonder, are you obeying the Lord tonight? Are you obeying the Lord and serving him wherever you can? The latter requires spiritual maturity to obey the Lord. Is your heart obedient to Christ? Think of what Samuel said. We know the story of Samuel's calling and how he could hear that voice in the night. And he came to his father and said, what is that voice? And whenever he knew it was the Lord, what was his response when the Lord called him? Speak, for thy servant heareth. I wonder, is that your attitude tonight? Lord, speak to me, for I'm hearing, and I'm ready to do the Father's will. Have you an obedient heart? But not only did David have an obedient heart, and a humble heart, and a laboring heart, but he had a heart of integrity. David had a heart of integrity. I want to read with you some verses from Psalm 78. And Psalm 78 speaks of David in secret. When we didn't see David, when we didn't see him and his attitude, the Lord describes it in Psalm 78. He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes great with young, and brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Beloved, here's the simple truth about David. Who David was at home was who David was in public. Who David was at home was who David was in church. Who David was in the street was who David was in the public gathering. And beloved, the Lord will bless a heart of integrity. You know how different David was to King Saul. How different he was. What a juxtaposition to throw into Scripture. You know, Saul looked good. Why did the children of Israel choose Saul to be their king? Well, because he was tall, because he was mighty, because they believed him to be wise. He was seen to be as a conqueror to the people. Yet how different Saul was when we see in Scripture his secret side. You know, the people thought Saul to be mighty. But on the coronation day, Saul hid away. He was scared. He was trembling. He was fearful. And he was found hiding away from the people for fear of his office. You know, the people thought him to be a holy man of God, a pious man of God. Yet, during his conquest, he regularly disobeyed the Lord and consulted with witches and with soothsayers. You know, the people thought him to be very, very wise. Yet how foolishly he hunted the young boy David, throwing javelins at him in the royal courtroom. How foolish that was. You know, verse 7 tells us that God was not looking as Samuel was looking. For the Lord was looking on the heart, and the Lord saw that David's heart was a heart of integrity. That word integrity, it's translated elsewhere as fullness or perfect. Can we not say that David's heart was just like Christ's? It was just like Christ's. A Christ-like heart of integrity is a heart which in private and in public seeks to glorify and to serve the Father. Have we got a heart like that? A heart which always seeks to glorify God? When David sinned, when David did not show integrity, when David was a sinner in private whilst being a holy man in public, what was his great cry in Psalm 51? Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. I wonder, does that have to be our cry tonight? As we've heard about the heart that we need to have coming up to the mission, I wonder, must that be our cry? Lord, I need a clean heart. I need a new heart. I need a heart that is ready to serve Christ. I wonder, is that our burden? Does that have to be our prayer? If our heart is not like this, and if we regard sin in our heart, there's mercy with the Lord. If our heart is sinful, if it's turned against Christ, there's mercy with Christ. He can forgive our sin. But finally, as I close, David also had a heart of spiritual anointing. You know, David's ministry was blessed because in verse 13, that anointing oil, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God, was poured out in its entirety upon him. And Samuel uses that holy oil as a representation of the Holy Spirit. And the teaching here is simple. Our labor for Christ will be profitless unless we have the Holy Spirit of God. Unless the Holy Spirit fills our entire being, unless the Holy Spirit is guiding us in our service, then our service will be barren and dry, and barren it shall remain. In Acts 3 verse 6, those who were sent to labor for Christ had two requirements, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Beloved, are we full of the Holy Ghost today? What a travesty it would be to our land if our churches were bursting to capacity. If every free church across the land was full in its entirety, you couldn't fit another person in. What a travesty it would be if our churches were full and we didn't have the Spirit. Our ministries must have the Spirit of God. When you pray, and even in the closing prayer, you pray that the Lord would emblazon your heart for Christian service, that the Lord would grant you the Holy Spirit to grant you a new enthusiasm for the things of God. There are many requirements for those who would carry the banner for Christ in this world. But the greatest requirement is the Spirit of God. What must our prayer be? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Fill me, ready me, quicken me, Father. Only when we know the anointing work of the Spirit will we know the blessing of the Lord. We sang those words earlier on. There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. This gospel mission is fast approaching. John 9 verse 4 tells us the night cometh when no man can work. I wonder, are you working in this small season that you have? Are you laboring for the Master? But before you can labor, have you a heart that's ready to labor? Is your heart right with Christ? Have you a heart that's going to be blessed by the Lord? Or must you pray tonight, Lord, Father, cleanse me, forgive me, and ready me for Christian service? Oh, you pray tonight that the Lord will use you, that the Lord will use this mission. But before he does, our hearts must be cleansed afresh. We must have a heart like David. And indeed, does not David's heart point us to Jesus Christ, the one who was most obedient, the one who was most full of integrity and most full of the Spirit of God? Beloved, we must serve like Christ. We'll turn in our closing hymn to the hymn 500.